Step into a world of adventure and join our players in the continuation of Waterdeep Dragon Heist in a new homebrew adventure called Eye of the Thrallspire. We are thrilled to have you, but we'd be even more thrilled if you became a patron of our podcast on Patreon. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this is Quest.
If problems abound for your old pal Magic Tane, well, we were taken to the parade on a little mission for Davil, and all of a sudden the whole city went topsy-turvy, and that mind flayer that I've been warning everybody about since I saw it, and his old pal, Beholder, or whatever those monsters are, they exploded through the city, and now that it's under attack from a circus of monsters and maniacs. Oh, but luckily we found the Black Viper, who I was pretty sure was just a story, but apparently it's real, or maybe it's the daughter. I don't know. Who cares? We're in a lot of danger, folks, and we got to figure out what we're going to do. Oh, man, I hope Miosalini's going to be okay after all this.
The night air is thick with smoke and the acrid stench of burning wood as the Black Viper leads Cam, Magic Dan, Elle, and Talon through the war-torn streets of Waterdeep. The once bustling city is now a scene of utter devastation. Whole blocks have been reduced to rubble, charred remains of buildings standing like skeletons against the flickering orange glow of flames. The distant cries of terror mix with the cackling of fire. And every step they take echoes through the hollow, broken streets. Ahead, you catch glimpses of the chaos. A goblin shrieks with twisted glee as it chases a terrified citizen through the debris-strewn alleyways. A troll, its massive frame silhouetted against the flames, swings a club that smashes through the remnants of a storefront, sending shattered wood and glass scattering into the night. The Black Viper moves with practiced stealth, her dark cloak blending into the shadows as she darts from cover to cover, beckoning you to follow, her eyes sharp and focused. Finally, the Black Viper halts, motioning for you to stay low. You find yourselves about a block away from the Yawning Portal Tavern. Miraculously, the building appears untouched by the surrounding chaos, its stone walls standing firm amidst the ruin. The tavern is illuminated, its windows glowing with a warm light. Yet, something is amiss. Xanathar's agents lurk at the entrance and surround the building, their eyes scanning the streets, keeping a watchful guard. From within the tavern, the faint sounds of off-key music and raucous cheers can be heard, as if those inside are celebrating. The Black Viper's eyes narrow as she takes in the scene, her mind quickly assessing the situation. And without a word, she gestures for you to follow her, leading you silently to the rear of an abandoned wig shop nearby. Hidden in the shadows, she finds a cellar door. She pulls it open, revealing a dark stairwell that descends into the earth. She steps down in the shadows, pausing only to beckon you to follow her into the safety below.
Guys, it looks a little too dark down there.
We just need to get off the streets.
Yeah, hiding seems like a good idea, at least till we figure out what's going on.
What do you think is going on?
Someone's trying to take over the city.
It looked like the Beholder.
With those mind flayers I've been telling everybody about.
Where's the Blackstaff? Where's the city guard? Where's the griffins? Where's
your brother?
I hate to tell you this, El, but anyone we can't see is probably dead.
Oh man, I hope Bitsy's okay.
As you carefully descend the creaky wooden stairs into the dimly lit cellar, a murmur of hushed conversations greet you. The air is thick with tension and the musty smell of old stone and damp earth. As your eyes adjust to the subdued light, you see the expansive subterranean space has been turned into an impromptu gathering place. Immediately, familiar faces come into view. Renair, Floon, and Valo, standing near a makeshift table laden with maps and notes. They light up with relief and joy upon spotting you, and they begin to rush over without hesitation. Off to one side, Davil Starsong, clad in his usual dark blue attire, discusses strategy with Yagra and several stern-faced Zhentarim agents. Their expressions are serious, but they nod in acknowledgement as you enter. Among the gathered crowd is a face you do not recognize. A middle-aged nobleman catches your attention. He is elegantly dressed, and his demeanor is calm, as he speaks in hushed tones to a diverse group that seems to be out of place in the dim cellar. This motley assembly of beggars, dock workers, and shopkeepers listen intently to the nobleman. The cellar, usually a place for storage, now buzzes with the energy of a war room. Each person present, either a known ally or a potential new one, in a fight that looms overhead.
Do you think it's the wrong time for me to give Davil that handkerchief?
Nah, I think it should be fine.
Valo quickly rushes over. It's my friends! It's so good to see you again. I knew that I would see you again.
Hey, Volvo.
Never mind.
How you doing, Tappertino?
I am safe, so that is a good thing. Floon will say, I'm so happy that my saviors are safe. I could just kiss you.
Please don't.
Renera, he was quite adamant to the Black Viper about Valo and I's safety, and thanks to him, we were brought back here before the attack began. And I'm just so happy to see all of you.
You said before the attack began?
Valo will say, yesterday.
So y'all knew?
I didn't know. I just found out yesterday. I just said that.
So you knew yesterday that there was going to be an attack, and yet you told no one?
I think there are only two people in this room we can assume that knew this attack was coming. It would be the Black Viper and Renair.
And Renair will approach. And he sort of puts a hand on El's shoulder. And he, like, goes to pull you into a hug.
I think I let him.
Okay. And he will sort of hold you on your shoulders and say, it's good to see you. And it's good to see all of you. It's been a harrowing time.
What's this that you knew about the attack beforehand?
It's difficult to explain. El, do you recall, after we last spoke, I said I felt eyes on me.
I remember.
Well, it turns out I was right. I was being followed, watched at every turn. It wasn't just paranoia, and the Black Viper herself confirmed it. She caught wind of a plot to take me out. No doubt part of the Xanathar's scheme to destabilize the city. And a few nights ago, they made their move. I was ambushed and barely escaped with my life. If it hadn't been for the Black Viper, I wouldn't be here. She intervened just in time, helped me get away from the attackers, and we've been moving from one hiding spot to another ever since, trying to stay one step ahead.
So we're like a resistance now?
In a way, yes.
Yeah, viva la resistance.
I just don't understand why you didn't tell us.
We've been moving around a lot. Valo and Floon, I wanted to protect them first. I hope you understand. They sort of lean in close to you, can't protect themselves as well. However, the Black Viper is the one who has been rescuing everyone and bringing them here. None of us have left since...
Have you seen my family? Did they make it?
I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
So, now what?
Yeah, what's the plan?
As this is going on, Cam would approach the Black Viper because he doesn't care as much about... I'm not trying to be rude, but he doesn't care about, like, the pleasantries, and he's going to approach her and he's going to say, what do you know about the Mind Flayers and the Beholder flying above the city? What do they seek to gain here? There's nothing left of this city. It's not like they can just take over and have a prosperous city. This is going to take rebuilding and work, and that doesn't seem like a scheme to me. It seems like something darker is going on here.
You approach her as she was leaning over a table with like a makeshift map strewn with various markers and notes, and she looks upon you with a concerned face, though it's hard to tell because of her black eye mask that covers her eyes.
I believe we have the time I promised to explain further. Gather your friends. I will explain more.
Gentlemen, we have business to discuss.
Yes, we do. Miasolini, go patrol around. And I take Miasolini out and drop him on the ground, and he walks around tables doing cat stuff.
The Black Viper will say,
we find ourselves at a critical juncture. That beholder that you saw, that is the Xanathar, the Beholder Crime Lord. And he has set his eyes on seizing control of Waterdeep. Not just through force alone, but through an insidious form of enslavement. For weeks I've been tracking his movements and those of his underlings, piecing together their scheme, but alas, I was slightly too late. His plan was already in motion by the time I realized the full extent of his ambitions.
She will point at the map that she's been leaning over, and you will see the map is marked the Yawning Portal, and she sort of points at that location. And she'll say, "In the depths of Undermountain lies a Netherese artifact known as the Thrall Spire. This ancient crystal, when activated, has the potential to magically enslave every mind within our city's borders. It is activated by a specific psionic ritual involving considerable magical energy. The Xanathar intends to perform this dark ritual directly above the well in the Yawning Portal. A second crystal is needed for this ritual to act like a conduit. They intend to tap into the ancient magics of Halaster Blackcloak, who made Undermountain, to amplify the artifact's reach. Am I clear so far?"
With amplifying it, how far would that go?
With the amplification, I believe it could enslave the minds of every citizen in this entire city.
My God, he'll use this as a workforce to repair the city and make it his own. Probably eat a lot of their brains because they're mind flayers.
Why would they just leave something like that down there?
You must be unfamiliar with Undermountain. It is an extremely dangerous and deadly place. I have only ever heard of two people going down there and coming back alive, and that would be Durnan. And she will gesture over to the other side of the room where there's this elderly nobleman, and she will say, "And Mert the moneylender. Halaster Blackcloak, the creator of Undermountain, designed hundreds of levels of this ancient dungeon filled with powerful monsters and traps."
That seems irresponsible.
"Somehow the Xanathar has made his way through and located the Thrall Spire. But I doubt that is the most powerful thing in Undermountain."
Awesome. So what's next? I mean, if only two people have ever made it out of there, I'm assuming that we need to go there and destroy the crystal, destroy Xanathar, do something?
Well, he's going to activate it at the Yawning Portal, so that's where we need to be.
How do we get into a building that's surrounded by the forces? There's four adventurers and a bunch of bakers.
Yeah, Davil will take offense to that. He's not listening. She will say, "This ritual that they will be conducting, that is where the danger and our opportunity lies. There is a mind flare of considerable power under the command of the Xanathar. It calls itself Nilhelur. Nilhelur and his agents have taken control of the Yawning Portal, turning it into a Xanathar's Guild stronghold. This mind flare will be conducting the ritual in a couple of hours. And our sources suggest that Durnan, the tavern's owner, he may be under Nilhelur's mind control. We have devised a plan, but we were missing a key element until now. Our plan is straightforward but perilous. We cannot completely defeat the Xanathar himself today. He's occupied with the Open Lord and the Blackstaff, using their power to shield his operations. So he will not be present, and that is a blessing by the gods for us. However, we can disrupt this ritual. The key element we have been missing is you."
Me? I'm the missing element?
most L shit I've ever heard.
Is it the power of our friendship?
You could say that, sure. Our allies in the Zentarum and the Harpers, and she'll motion over to this motley crew, they will engage the Xanathar's forces, drawing them out and holding them at bay. This will give you the opening that you need. A strike team, if you will.
We get in and then what?
That is where it gets complicated. You must infiltrate the Yawning Portal, break through their defenses, and stop Nilhelur before he can complete the ritual.
How deep of a control does Nil have over Durnan?
It's hard to say. I'm not intimately familiar with mind flayers.
Is there any way we could knock it out of him? You know, like, you know, bump him on the head, hit him with a bucket of water or something, make him snap out of it?
I don't think it's impossible.
If we take care of the mind flayer, as difficult as that would be, we would have Durnan on our side. I feel like that is a boon we cannot deny.
Oh yeah, he's super dangerous.
Dangerous is what we need.
Absolutely.
So when do we get started?
The ritual isn't for a couple more hours. And after that fight, I'm sure you all need a little bit of rest.
Oh yeah, El got like hella stabbed.
Yeah, that goblin sucked.
I think I'm going to look to El. Does El still look like scared and nervous and freaked out as he was before?
He's 100% terrified. Okay. And weirdly enough, he's actually concerned about his family.
Cam's going to come over and put a hand onto your shoulder and say, "We have the correct brother with us today. We will get us out of here."
Aw.
You get a little misty-eyed.
Take an inspiration.
Dope.
You're going to need it.
I'm all for this plan, but I don't think the four of us are strong enough to take on a mind flayer by ourselves. We're going to need some help.
We don't need to be good, El. We just need to be lucky. And that's all we've been so far.
Also, we need some, like, hella weapons and healing potions. Does anybody have anything like that?
The Black Viper will say, "I've reached out to our allies within the Zentarum and the Harpers, and they've come through with more than just manpower. They've provided us with a small cache of magic items. If you need, you can take a moment to look through these. We have a few potions for healing and enchanted weapons or armor pieces. I trust that you will take what you need."
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Before you begin to prepare and start your rest, I must say, stopping this ritual is not going to end this war. But it will deliver a significant blow to the Xanathar's plans and buy us the time we desperately need to mount a counteroffensive. You've proven yourselves, and Renair trusts you with his life. And now, Waterdeep needs you more than ever. We're all counting on you.
We're going to get on the front page of the paper, El.
Okay, so you guys want to take a look through these magic items? Okay, so you can open up a couple of crates, and there's some stuff that isn't really you guys' style. There is a crate that is full of healing potions. So how many would you guys take?
Seeing that there's a plethora of people in here, there are a lot of, like, commoners here, right? I think Cam would take one and say, in case of emergencies.
Tay will take two.
Yeah, let's just take two, okay? Like, I'm all for being altruistic, but we're going to need them.
Okay, I'll take another one, but, you know, I hope not to use it.
I hope it's cherry flavored.
All right, yeah, El will grab two as well.
Each of you will find a magical item that suits your abilities. So, El, you will find a dark hooded mantle of thick cloth. And it has these dark etched runes all along the collar and around the hood. It is a rogue's mantle.
And he looks at it and puts it on and kind of like does a little stretch. I think this is going to work.
Looks pretty sporting.
It does look very good on you, yeah.
It brings out your eyes.
Stop.
Tay, you will reach down into a crate and reach for what appears to be a dark blue cloak. And as you reach to grab it, you're grabbing into thin air as if it's an illusion.
Why can't I grab this?
You reach down a little bit further and pull out a dark blue cloak that has the mirror image of another cloak right beside it as you pick up a cloak of displacement.
Look at this, guys. I'll flip the hood up.
It looks good on you, man.
Yeah, it appears that there's like a Tay, and then there's like a Tay that's like right next to Tay that like overlaps him. Cam, you will open up a crate and see it's full of like weird musical instruments, but something does spark your interest. It is a very ornate harmonica.
Cam is going to see it and like pick it up. This is a very dejected looking room. This is a rough spot to be in. And he's going to like go over to where the commoners are, and he's just going to start playing like a really slow, sad, like bluesy tune on the harmonica.
Make a performance check.
That's a 23.
The somber, tension-filled room lightens a bit. You even see a smile curl across Devil Star Song's face.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, this is a Revelers.
Revelers concertina, I believe.
Yes,
yeah.
But it is replaced to be a harmonica.
A harmonica is very much who he is.
Definitely, definitely. And finally, Magic Dan, as you begin digging through boxes, you are finding pieces that would work perfectly for your schematic of this item that you've seen the drow have, this gun, and you find enough parts to maybe piece that together, as well as you find a cache of tools. But one tool really sparks your interest. It is a 8-inch, 10-inch Swiss Army knife-looking thing. but it has many different kinds of tools in it, more than you can even comprehend. Every time you open it up, there's a different new tool on it, and it's got arcane runes carved all over it.
Oh, man, I read about this in the Temple of Gond when I worked there. Oh, yes, hold on. I start, like, going through it, and it's like, all right, I want this, I want that, all right. And then I start basically assembling the pieces into the arcane firearm.
Okay, and that is a all-purpose tool. So, you guys have found your gear and geared up. As you guys sit down for a moment and take in the sight of the room, you will see your friends that you've made along the way, maybe allies, and a feeling washes over you that this may or may not be the last time that you see them.
Hold on, I got something to go do, and I walk over to Yagra.
You will notice that she looks like she's working on something, but every so often she just looks over at you. You approach her, and she's, Dan.
Yagra, it's real dangerous out there, and I know you're getting ready to lead the front charge. I want you to know, old Magic Dan's going to get that drink with you, okay?
Dan, I spend a lot of time thinking about jobs and fights and survival, and I don't usually waste thoughts on, well, softer things.
Shush, 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 shush. And I hold my finger to her lips.
Cam changes to a more romantic tune on the harmonica.
No, I need to say this. She'll grab your hand. Dan, I think I'm in love with you.
And she's going to take you, swing you around, pull you into a dip, and put one hand on your face and just kiss you so hard.
Cam starts clapping, like a slow clap.
Just give him one of, like, a thumbs up.
Yeah, girl, I've dreamed about that for a long time.
Just so we're clear, so have I.
I didn't think he had it in him.
Well, now I'm certainly going to kill that fucking mind flayer. Let's go.
I guess it just took the end of the world to push that out in the open, huh?
Well, that'll do it to you. Don't worry. Old Magic Dan's come for them.
For them?
I'll see you on the other side, Dan.
See you on the other side, Yagra.
It's like slap her on the ass as I walk away.
She slaps you on your ass.
Oh, ah, way harder than what I did.
Take an inspiration.
I'll hit my song of rest. I'll start playing that tune on the harmonica again and just like kick my feet up and look around the room of the family I found and just like try and inspire everyone I can here.
I think with that rousing performance and the tension of the upcoming fight, I think all of you can consider this short rest a long rest and get all of your full abilities back. While you're resting, Renair will approach El, and he'll sit down on the crate next to you and look down at his hands as he rubs them together nervously.
I can't tell you how relieved I am to see you, El. After the Black Viper saved me, all I could think about was whether you and your friends and were safe. I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you sooner.
No, it's okay. I'm glad you made it, because with the city the way it is right now, I mean, you were the first person I thought of to make sure that they were okay. And I'm glad you were safe.
We've been through a lot together, huh?
Yeah. A lot more good than bad, but it seems like a lot of bad lately.
You remember that time that I hit that rock through your mom's window?
Oh, I remember. And then she was so mad because I wouldn't tell her who did it. I'm sure she knew, but, you know, I had to spend the next couple weeks inside.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's fine. She kind of sucks.
she does kind of suck. I'm sorry, man.
No, it's fine. I mean, I hope she's okay.
Me too. And then you both sort of sigh and the gravity sort of sinks back in.
Are you going to be part of the group that distracts the group outside?
Yeah, with Waterdeep on its knees like this, it's our unity, our friendship that's going to pull us through. I've always believed in you, Al. and I'm here, sword in hand. I'm ready to fight to keep you safe.
Same. Me and my friends, we're going to take care of this Mind Flayer, and then eventually we're going to take care of the Xanathar. And then afterwards, we're going to have Cam play a song for us, and we're going to dance the fucking night away.
Yeah, a dance and a drink.
We're going to drink like Magic Dan, and we're going to drink till we can't feel feelings anymore.
I like that plan.
El's going to walk over to the other three. Hey guys, I know I've been kind of a pain in the ass this entire time, and maybe not the best companion to have, but I just wanted to say thank you, because I've never really had, you know, real close friends. I mean, there's Renair, but you guys are the closest thing that I've had to a family. Thank you.
It's strange. We live in a decrepit house. We have no money. We have no food. We have very little going for us, but this has truly been the best time I've had in my life. And I wouldn't trade it for anything with you guys.
I just really hope that we don't all die, because you guys are my friends, and I'm going to get laid. Now let's go do this!
I'm just going to set some ground rules down. If you guys do hook up, you're going to Yagra's house.
I sleep in a room next to you, and I agree.
Okay, well, that's fine, but hold on real quick. And I put my hand on El's chest, and I infuse his clothing with enhanced defense, so he gets one plus bonus to his armor class.
Yeah, you know how many people would be listening to them like, when the fuck is he going to make an infusion?
I think so many people were confused as to what class Magic Dan was for so long. Magic Dan's class is alcoholic. Subclass artificer, but alcoholic.
Do you guys need to go over the plan one more time with the Black Viper, or do you feel like you got it?
Viper, is there a signal we should wait for, or do we just wait for hell to break loose and go through the back?
While our allies, the Zentarum and the Harpers, engage the Xanathar's forces, they will keep them occupied and out of your way. Find an opening and break through it. And you need to move fast. Infiltrate the Yawning Portal, navigate through their defenses, and find this Nilhilur. He's the Mind Flayer.
Let's do this thing.
Understood.
All right, I think I got it.
Let's go.
As you guys gear up, the rest of the crowd seems to gear up alongside you. Renair will stand up on a crate, and he raises his hands up, and his voice is filled with conviction. Friends and warriors of Waterdeep, tonight we face a threat that seeks to undermine the very soul of our city. This isn't just a fight for control. It's a battle for our freedom and the spirit of every citizen here. Waterdeep has stood against darkness before, and together we have prevailed, and we will do so again. The Xanathar believes it can break us, turn us into mere puppets through fear and subjugation. But we are Waterdeep. We are resilient. We are brave, and we are unyielding. Tonight, we fight not just for survival, but to send a clear message. We will never bow to tyranny. Together, we will fight. Together, we will overcome. Together, we will triumph.
Fuck yeah! Yeah, go, let's get him! Yeah, go!
In the early hours before dawn, the air is tense with anticipation as the allies of the Black Viper take their positions in alleys around the Yawning Portal. The stillness of the night amplifies the faint sounds of distant skirmishes. The Yawning Portal itself stands ominously before you, its normally inviting appearance overshadowed by a sinister, purple, pulsating glow emanating from within. And the tavern is now a fortress, heavily fortified with goblins, hobgoblins, and bugbears who guard its perimeter with vigilant eyes and ready weapons.
El's kind of like crouched down. He's got his new mantle hood up. There's a weird lump kind of hanging in the back, and he's just getting ready for the signal, I guess.
Take me out, Selene, out, and I sit him down right in front of me. I'm like, all right, my precious little prince. Old daddy, he's gonna be in a fight. I don't want you anywhere near it. So you run along until I call you, okay? All right. One more time. Boop. and I boop him on the nose.
Talon is going to be crouched down, pulling his hood up, and waiting for the signal.
I think seeing this moment with Magic Dan and Meow Cellini, I have a once per day free use of speak with animals. And I think I'd like put a hand on Dan's shoulder, cast speak with animals on myself, look to Meow Cellini and say, "You need to hide, but we will be back for you. Dan loves you very much. We all love you very much, but you need to hide and fast."
"Could you give me one more bit?"
"Of course." And I'll like put my hand down to rub his head.
"This time I want to bite you."
Single tear on runs down Cam's cheek. "I know, Meow Cellini. I know.
But I want to bite you so bad."
"One bite for the road, Meow Cellini."
Shit!
2d4.
Damn, man, we need him with us.
Nearby, Renair, Valo, and Flund stand armed and ready, though it's clear they are out of their usual element. Renair grips his sword with a determined frown, and Valo clutches a wand somewhat awkwardly, and Floon holds a dagger, his expression one of nervous resolve. Together, they await the signal, just like you, prepared to play their part in the coming conflict. The Black Viper, her presence nearly blending into the darkness, turns to you with an intense, urgent whisper.
That purple glow, it signifies the ritual has begun. Time is against us.
She scans the horizon, and the first faint signs of dawn are threatening to break.
We must act swiftly to disrupt their ceremony before the sun rises and seals our fates. Our forces will strike first. Wait for an opening.
Roger.
Understood.
Gotcha.
I just give her a slight nod.
She nods, and she signals with a closed fist readiness to the gathered forces.
The fate of Waterdeep hangs in the balance. Let's move! Now! Stop this threat once and for all!
With a downward slash of her arm, she gives the signal. And the air fills with a swift volley of arrows and spells from the Zhentarim and Harper agents on the tops of buildings and taking covers in darkened alleyways. Arcane bolts and feathered shafts streak through the dark, targeting the surprised goblins, hobgoblins, and bugbears guarding the entrance. With the first wave of ranged attacks thinning the enemy's ranks, Valo, Floon, Renair, and the Black Viper charge forward, leading the melee combatants into the fray. The clash is immediate and brutal. The sounds of metal striking and ringing out as swords and axes meet the hastily rallied defenses of the Xanthar's forces. Above the melee, the pulsating purple glow from the yawning portal's windows casts an eerie light, highlighting the ferocity of the battle. As the first rays of dawn begin to crest the horizon, they illuminate a scene of determined resistance against the dark forces attempting to dominate this city.
Guys, I think it's time to go.
Dan, is there a back door?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's how Davil slips in and out.
For Waterdeep.
For Waterdeep.
For Waterdeep.
For Waterdeep.
For your sweet, sweet ass. Yes!
I'm going to invoke the power of the new mantle, and I'm going to teleport. And as soon as he appears 30 feet down the alleyway, there's a golden black owl floating above him. And it's the two of us basically appearing in the alleyway 30 feet in front of us.
That's sick. Okay.
Out of concern for L, seeing him almost die so many times, I think I'll use my other once per day free use of Misty Step and disappear in like a cloud of flowers, appearing close to L but not blowing his cover.
As you dodge through the chaotic battlefield, your focus remains fixed on the back door to the yawning portal. Each step bringing you closer, weaving through clashing swords and crackling spells. As you are almost there, the ground beneath you suddenly rumbles. And with a deafening crash, a hulking ogre bursts through the doorway. It has a wide wooden platform strapped to its back, hosting five armed goblins, each scrambling to regain balance. Hovering above this crude assembly, a green-skinned sphere with a central eye and multiple eye stalks, a spectator,
floats menacingly. As the ogre roars and steps forward, the goblins ready their weapons, and the spectators' eye stalks glow ominously. The siege ogre and its crew have noticed you, setting the stage for a confrontation as you brace to defend yourself and push forward. I need everybody to roll initiative.
Fuck yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
19.
Magic Dan, what'd you get?
5. I know I'm eating it.
Talon.
21.
L.
23.
This is a siege ogre, also known as a gaze keep siege ogre. The ogre, the platform, the goblins on the platform, and the spectator are like one unit.
Got it.
They do act independently, but they are like a siege tower. Nobody is surprised. So, L, you are first in the order as this giant siege ogre bursts through the door, ready to attack you.
All right, so as soon as I see the ogre, dragon's going to swoop in and just like try to like claw at its face and then swoop out. And then I'm going to take my rapier, try to like slide in underneath it and go for like a knee strike with my rapier.
Okay.
And then cast Booming Blade.
Okay.
12.
That hits?
Oh, fuck yeah. That's 27 points of damage.
Jesus Christ. How the fuck?
Yeah, Booming Blade plus the 3d6 plus the d8 from the rapier.
As you run forward, Dragon the Owl swoops in and claws at this ogre's eyes.
Oh, no!
And he tries to swat away at this bird, harrowing him. And you slide in under this ogre's legs, get a view of something you didn't want to see, and stab into its kneecap as it roars out in pain. The goblins on the platform shake and try to hold on tightly.
And then I'm going to bonus action disengage and roll out from underneath him to let the next person come in and go after the ogre.
Perfect. Next in the order, Talon.
I am going to cast Chromatic Orb, targeting the ogre. 18 to hit.
That hits.
For 8 damage, and that's poison damage. And then Wild Magic. Nope. And then Quickening, a poison spray. 16 to hit.
It slams into this ogre's gut, and it sort of melts away a bit of his skin with like a poisonous sort of rash. And then you try to spray some poison in its face, but it is unbothered by that. So you are 10 feet away from it for the poison spray. If you move away from this guy, you will get multiple attacks of opportunity. So all of these goblins have like long pikes that they're going to use to stab down at people trying to attack this ogre.
I will stay where I am.
Cam, you're up.
Cam is going to look around at the situation, see that his friends are attacking the ogre, and look up to the spectator and say, with all those eyes, it's a surprise you can't see who the true threat is. And I'm going to use unsettling words first. So that's a 4, so it's -4 from his next save. And then I'm going to cast Enemies Abound on the spectator. You reach into the mind of one creature you can see and force it to make an intelligence saving throw. It automatically succeeds if it's immune to being frightened. On a failed save, the target loses the ability to distinguish friend from foe, regarding all creatures it can see as enemies until the spell ends. Anytime it would attack something, it rolls randomly to see who it hits.
I got a 16.
My DC is 17.
-4, so he fails. Fuck that guy.
Yeah,
it's a fun fucking spell.
Yeah, it's rad as hell. He's kind of a quasi-ally at this point.
He's chaos, is what he is right now.
It will have its eye rays lighting up, about to just zap the hell out of you. And after you cast this spell, its eyes turn red, and it turns each eye on a different, either Magic Dan or one of the goblins on the thing, or the ogre. It is the ogre's turn. He will reach his hand up towards the platform and grab onto one of the goblins. And the goblin's like,
no, not me. Don't take me. No, no, please don't.
The ogre will say,
gobble, fly, you catch.
And he's going to throw the goblin at Cam. it is a 19 to hit.
That'll hit. Actually, silvery barbs.
Okay. So you got to roll one more time.
17 will still hit. I'm going to give advantage to myself. 100%, yeah.
So you take 8 bludgeoning damage as this goblin smacks into you. However, the goblin hits you so hard it dies. As it smacks into you, you are pushed back. However, it smacks its head on the ground.
I got an 11 on my con save.
Next in the order is the goblins. They will be a little freaked out that the ogre just did that.
Just yeeted one of their companions to death?
Yes. So Talon is nearby. So one of them is going to stab into you with a pike. It's a 7 to hit.
That'll miss.
Okay, another one's going to stab you with its pike. Oh, 6 to hit, man, they suck.
That'll miss.
Okay, the third one, L, you are 1. Magic Dan, you're 2. Cam, you're 3. 1.
That's me.
He's going to shoot a short bow at you. A 16?
That hits.
Okay, so it just hits for 7 piercing damage. And that is the goblin's turn. Next in the order is the spectator. So his eyes are darting all over the place. So let me decide. All right, we're going to do ogre is 1. Goblins, plural, is 2. L is 3. Talon is 4. Cam is 5. Magic Dan is 6. So I roll a d6. 4?
That's me.
Oh, he shoots 2 of them. Yeah. Okay, 3 is L. So both of these rays are coming for L and Talon. So Talon, for you, roll a d4. Choose your fate.
1.
Okay, make a wisdom saving throw.
6.
You are confused. So a purplish-colored ray shoots out of its now glazed-over red eyes, and it's just randomly firing them in all directions. And one of them just happens to graze across Talon as you are hit with a confused ray. You can't take reactions until the end of your next turn, and on your turn, you can't move and use your action to make a melee or ranged attack against a randomly determined creature within range. Melee or ranged attack against a randomly determined... So you're basically as fucked as he is. You have the same effect that he has. Okay. If you can't attack, you do nothing. So basically, you're going to have to burn a cantrip on something nearby. Okay, that's yours. L, roll a d4.
2.
Okay. A grayish-colored ray shoots out of another eye, and it like, grazes a goblin that's fighting in the distance, and its body freezes as he stiffens up, as he's paralyzed, and it turns back towards you, L. I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
12.
You fail. And you are paralyzed for 1 minute. You can repeat the save on each of your turns. Next in the order is Magic Dan.
I'm going to pull out my arcane firearm and charge it up with Thunder Wave and fire it at the siege ogre. And that should create a 15-foot cube that encapsulates all the goblins. Yeah, and it's to where it also doesn't hit Tay. A constitution saving roll of 15.
So I'm going to start with the top with the spectator. 14?
Nope.
Okay, he fails. Then the ogre. 12, a 2, and a 2. They all fail.
Mm-hmm. 16 damage to all of them.
You explode these goblins. Describe how you just explode all 3 of these goblins at once.
I point the arcane firearm at them and zero in on them and then pull the trigger right at them, and a big shock wave of like thunder sound just erupts and just vibrates everything, and it hits them and just vibrates them.
Okay. As slop falls down through the cracks of the platform and falls onto the ogre. The ogre and the spectator both take damage, both of which get bloodied by that attack.
That's right. You've been thunderstruck.
The spectator gets to make his save again. What kind of save is it? An 8.
That'll fail.
He is still enemies abounded. Next in the order is L.
I fail.
Talon, you are confused.
1 is the ogre. 2 is the specter. 3 is L. 4 is Cam. 5 is Magic Dan. 6 is Reroll. Magic Dan, I'm sorry. Firebolt.
Yep. No problem.
Nat 20 for a total of 27.
You bitch.
That hits?
With being paralyzed, you can't take reactions, right?
Correct.
Okay.
27 fire damage.
Talon, you have this pinkish energy concealing your eyes, and you don't know what is happening. You see Magic Dan looks like a goblin, and L looks like a bugbear, and you're not sure who is who. And you target Magic Dan and shoot this perfect firebolt. And it hits him so hard in the back because he was not expecting it.
Oh, son of a gun!
Ha-ha, got him!
How much was it all together?
27.
How you doing, bud?
Not good.
That's probably going to need a healing potion.
Dan, why are you on fire?
Oh, I got an idea why.
Okay. Cam, you're up.
So still up, it's the spectator, and the ogre. Okay. I'm going to hit the ogre with a vicious mockery. Okay. That's a wisdom saving throw it needs to make of 17 for 3 damage. Okay. I'm going to say to him, if you keep throwing your allies, you're going to have no one left to fight for you.
You know, tell me what to do.
Big dumb oaf. Speaking of big dumb oafs, Dan, you need to get back into this fight, and I'm going to hit you with a healing word.
Oh.
The ogre is next. The ogre is going to reach onto his back to find a goblin, finds Mush, frowns, and just tries to smack you in the face with his hand. 24 to hit.
He has disadvantage.
20 to hit.
Damn.
That'll hit.
You take 9 bludgeoning damage.
Reaction, hellish rebuke.
14, he fails.
18.
So he will swing down towards you, and it's almost as if he grabs you, right? And fire begins to grow from your cloak and from within your chest, as it doesn't burn your clothes, but it singes his hand, and he will let go, and he'll be like,
"Ow, you burn me, that hurts!"
And he falls backwards and smashes his head against the side of the yawning portal, collapsing the wall. As the wall sort of falls in on top of him, he's dead. However, the spectator is shooting eye rays all over the fucking place. It is now the spectator's turn. Cam, roll a d4.
It's a 4.
Okay. A black beam comes out of this thing's eye, and it is surrounded by like this greenish energy, like, you know, like Raven from Teen Titans, how she has like the white around her magic. So it's the same thing. It's like a black rainbow. It has green around it. And you need to make a constitution saving throw as you feel like necrosis crawling on your skin.
I still have advantage from silvery barbs. That was worse. That's a 9.
You fail. Holy fuck. You take 24 points of damage.
Holy shit. Okay, I'm up, but barely. I am at 1 hit point.
So, oh my god. So this blackened... I rolled a 10, an 8, and a 6. So this blackened energy washes over you as your skin tightens against your bones and necrosis sets in on your skin. Next is Magic Dan. Roll a d4.
2.
L got. Make a constitution saving throw.
17.
You succeed as you feel your body stiffening up from like being paralyzed, but you break out of it.
I'm going to try to light him up with a firebolt from the arcane cannon. 9.
That misses.
Okay, I'm going to deploy. I can't believe I hadn't done it yet. I'm going to deploy Gundog and have him fire at him with a force ballista. He will have to make 23.
That definitely hits. And that's 2d8 force damage.
Solid 8.
It takes it. And it pushes it further into the sky as it's now looming down on all of you. It's cleared of its enemies abound confusion. L, you're up. You fail your save as you are still paralyzed. Talon, you're up.
I'm going to cast Firebolt. 10 to hit.
That misses.
I'm going to quicken a Chromatic Orb. 11 to hit.
That misses. You fire 2 spells towards it. It dodges out of the way of both of them, now sort of sinisterly laughing as its elongated pink tongue rolls out of its mouth.
Gross.
Cam, you're up.
Cam, like reeling from that hit, is going to look up to the spectator, and how is it looking? It's looking pretty good, right?
No, it's bloodied. You can see, like, it's got wounds all over it. Its scales are pierced in some place with blood pouring out of it.
Okay. I think Cam is then going to pull out his hand crossbow and take a shot at the thing's eye again. You know, like the baby beholder he did so long ago. 15?
That hits.
5 damage.
How do you want to kill this spectator?
I honestly think Cam is in a state of, like, I am going to die here if I don't hit this thing directly in its, like, retina of its eye, and just unleashes this shot, and it just pierces right through its eyeball.
And as it pierces through its eyeball, it explodes in this thick, gooey substance as the spectator, like a popped air balloon, flies around a little bit and then lands kasplash on the ground.
Do I become unparalyzed?
You do, as soon as it dies.
Cam is instantly going to drop to one of his knees, just like bleeding profusely out of his body, just like... I didn't expect us to be in such dire straits so goddamn fast.
Cam, you need one of my healing potions?
No, I have one. And, like, he reaches into his pouch and, like, uncorks it and chugs a healing potion, which is 2d4. He's gonna, like, smash the healing potion on the ground and then uncork the next one and immediately chug that one as well.
A battle is going on around you. It's fine. But just reminder.
It's 13 back. That's not terrible.
Is there anything in the way of this broken wall now?
No, except for dead ogre body.
Okay. All right. First step's done. Now we need to get in there. El's gonna bamf again into the tavern.
Running right behind you.
So you all rush into the yawning portal. As you step into the yawning portal, the tavern is in disarray. Signs of a struggle evident in overturned chairs and shattered glass, the remnants of goblin mischief. Your eyes are immediately drawn to the iconic well in the center of the room. Now the epicenter of a sinister ritual. Hovering ominously above the well is a grotesque figure, a mind flayer. It's hauntingly familiar. You've seen this mind flayer before in a past encounter in the sewers. Beside this mind flayer floats a large opaque crystal pulsating with a deep purple light. A beam of energy surges from deep within the well, striking the crystal, which seems to absorb and amplify the power. The mind flayer, with a finger pressed against its temple, focuses intently on the crystal, seemingly oblivious to your arrival. To one side of the well stands Durnan, the barkeep, his expression vacant and his eyes emitting a disturbing purple glow, indicative of mind control. Clutching his great sword, he shifts his stance, preparing to engage any who enter. On the opposite side of the well, a familiar half-orc in red robes, the kidnapper of Floon you discovered in the sewers. He raises a hand wreathed in flames, ready to unleash a destructive spell. And flanking the well, 4 heavily armored hobgoblins with glowing purple eyes and tower shields form a protective phalanx. As you enter, they advance with military precision, their movements synchronized and threatening, poised to defend their mind flayer master at all costs. And lining the outskirts of the room, a dozen or more Xanathar's Guild members, including red-cloaked humanoids, goblins, and Kenku, wait tensely, ready to leap into action should the battle escalate, though they seem to hold their ground out of fear and confusion of your brazenness.
I knew this was going to be tough, but this might be out of our depth.
It doesn't matter.
I have a really good idea.
I'd love to hear it.
I can cast Fireball.
Holy shit.
As a big smile appears on Talon's face.
Hell yeah.
This tableau sets the stage for a confrontation of dire consequences as the fate of Waterdeep hangs in the balance. The battle to stop the ritual and save the city is now upon you. And that is where we'll end the session. If you've enjoyed this podcast and are looking for more thrilling adventures, be sure to check out The Descent on the Dungeon Lord J YouTube channel.
In this series, the adventurers unravel mysteries in the city of Baldur's Gate, leading them all the way to the depths of the Nine Hells. It's a journey you won't want to miss. Just search for Dungeon Lord J on YouTube. I would also like to say, we are immensely grateful to everyone tuning in. If you like what you hear and you want to support our work, consider becoming a patron on our Patreon page. Every bit of support we receive goes directly into making this podcast the best it can be. We truly appreciate all the love and support from listeners like you. I'm Dungeon Lord J, and this has been Quest. In the dim pre-dawn light, we see the shattered glass of a broken window at Troll Skull Manor. Silently, a grotesque, severed troll arm claws its way up the wall, and with a thud, it lands on the dusty wooden floor and begins its silent trek across the room. The arm finds its way to Magic Dan's bed, crawling up with unnerving agility. In a sudden, violent burst, it slashes through the sheets and the mattress, ripping them apart in a spray of fabric and feathers. It pauses, tension thick in the air.
What? He's not here? Where's Magic Dan?
Almost in response, the bed begins to shudder violently. Books and figurines topple from their places, crashing to the floor. An overwhelming, invisible presence fills the room. The troll arm trembles, overwhelmed by fear as it faces this unknown force. And as the scene fades, the last thing we see are the words, "Closing Time," etched into the dust on the wall.